This is your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about, and this is our regular, by the way, landlord-tenant program. We're going to be talking about California landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues. My guests are landlord-tenant attorneys and great friends of this program and have been for many years, been both on the air and when we've done Call a Lawyer Night. Both of them have done this many, many times. Mark Seidenfeld, whose office is in San Bruno, and Salvatore, but I'm going to call him Sal, Sal Timpano, whose office is in San Francisco. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Gentlemen, it's really nice to have you back on the program. You've been wonderful friends, both to me, this station, and also the listeners, and I thank you for your dedication and your time. Of course, I know why you come here. It's for the pizza. I know. Hey,
absolutely.
I'm no dummy. Let me throw something out to you. I got this question from Joan in Millbrae, and I think Joan's a landlady. She has an apartment down in Millbrae. And here's the question, and this is one that I think comes up with some frequency, of some variation, of course. Can you tell me what circumstances would warrant a tenant to withhold all or part of the tenant's rent? What happens if the landlord disagrees with the tenant's decision to do so? I have a few more facts on this, and then maybe you both can discuss it a little bit more generally. As I understand it, because I've talked with Joan, Joan has an apartment and a garage, and there was a problem with the electric garage door opener, and she was having it fixed, but it wasn't completed. Apparently, she rented the unit to these tenants, and they paid their first month in advance, but they then moved a whole bunch of stuff into the garage, blocking what needed to be completed for making this garage door open and shut. And they won't move the stuff. But now, the second month, they've been there a month, now the second month is due, and they're saying to her, hey, we're not going to pay you the rent until you fix the door. So they've got this stuff blocking, all of their storage stuff blocking the work. So what comments do you have specifically about Joan's problem and then generally about this issue of, let's say there's a problem with the property and let's say the landlord won't fix it, won't repair it. Could you start, Mark?
Sure. The tenant can't have it both ways. If they want the repairs to be made, they have to allow the landlord to make the repairs. So if I were Joan, I would send a letter to those tenants telling them you need to move your belongings out of the way. I would also serve them a notice of entry. A landlord cannot just enter at will into a rented unit. Mm-hmm. Has to give at least 24 hours advance written notice, and I usually tell clients to give more advance notice.
That means by entry, that also would include the garage?
I'm assuming that they rented the garage as part of the...
Yes. That's my understanding.
Yeah, in that case, yes.
Yeah.
And then if they go and can't access the wall or the door, whatever it is, because of the tenant's belongings, I would serve a notice on the tenants telling them they're going to have to vacate. They're preventing the repairs. They're preventing access to the unit.
I agree. It can be handled that way. Or you can send another notice of entry, and we've inspected it. Send another notice of entry to go in and do the repair after giving them a day or two to move, mm-hmm. to move their belongings out of the way. At best, the tenants might be entitled to a per diem reduction of rent. Right, Mark? At best.
Really? Really?
It's complicated.
Yeah.
A tenant can withhold rent if a landlord is notified, given reasonable notice, that repairs have to be made.
By the tenant saying, for example, right. The water heater is broken and I've got no warm water. I've got cold but no warm water.
Exactly. In a case like that, as long as the landlord is given notice and given a reasonable opportunity to fix it and fails to do so, the tenant can then spend up to 2 months' rent fixing it themselves, and that's perfectly legitimate. But in a case like this, I think the most that would be allowed would be, as Sal said, some small percentage reduction for the time they weren't able to use the garage, if, in fact, they can't use the garage. It sounds like they are using it, but they're using
yes.
it for storage.
Right.
So I would argue they wouldn't be entitled to any reduction.
I would, yeah. At best, they would be entitled to a per diem at best, but I think they are using the garage probably improperly
yeah.
because it's not intended for storage. The
exactly.
garage is for cars.
Let me yeah. throw this out to you, because I'm not a landlord-tenant attorney, have only had contacts with landlord-tenant through the radio program, Your Legal Rights. But what if these tenants will not do anything? Is a what's called a 3-day notice mm-hmm. to quit, pay or quit, would that be appropriate here?
Well, there's two kinds of 3-day notices.
Yes.
One is a notice to do something or quit.
I see.
In other words, you're giving the tenant an opportunity to cure.
Move your stuff.
Right, or yeah. pay the rent or
okay. yeah.
any number of other things. The other one is when a breach has happened that is not considered curable.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would simply be a 3-day notice to quit.
I see.
Yeah.
Any further thoughts on that?
Oh, well, and in this yeah. instance, it would be a cure or quit. It would be
cure
either
okay.
pay your rent or quit the place, which
okay.
means move, or more likely probably be a better one that says move your stuff so we can make the repairs or quit.
Do you think with this scenario that has been presented to me by Joan, do you think this indicates that these people are trying to defraud her? No, I'm not being facetious. I'm wondering.
I mean,
it sounds very strange to me.
I have to tell you, I've become cynical over the years.
No kidding.
I'm not casting aspersions on tenants in general, but there are a set of people out there who look for things like this to take advantages of
and stick around for another month or
landlord,
two for free or whatever, huh?
Because they know they can get away with it for several months and end up moving and. They end up moving,
and they end up moving, and then they've gotten supposedly several months of free rent.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, I want you to know that my guests are here. We're doing this program live on Wednesday, March 9th. Happy March to all of you! If you'd like to call in with your landlord-tenant question, whether you're a landlord or a tenant, it's 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. That's toll-free. Please call in. Don't wait too long. And I'm inviting both landlords and tenants to take advantage of this. All right. Are there any other situations going on right now with the law? I know that you're very knowledgeable, Sal, about the rent ordinance in San Francisco. But we're also talking on this program about general California landlord-tenant law. Is there anything that has happened recently that you feel you want to bring forward to the audience?
In San Francisco, the rules are they probably just changed, maybe a few days ago, with respect to a landlord's just cause to remove an unwarranted or illegal unit from a single-family home, otherwise known as a garage unit or an in-law unit. The laws are they may have just changed this week or last week.
Really?
I think it was effective March 1st.
March 1st.
Yeah. So that new...
So in other words, if I may, if this was a single-family residence, but there was a garage somewhere on the property... And the garage is now being used as a living unit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
So go ahead, please.
San Francisco is full of these illegal
living garages,
unwarranted
living
units.
Garage.
Yeah.
I have a living garage, yeah. everybody.
And not all of them are garages. Some of them are very nice.
Yeah. Some are very nice. Up until this new change, an owner was allowed by the rent ordinance to seek a permit from the planning department or the building department from the city and remove the unit from residential use and
mm-hmm.
thereby evict the tenant.
Mm-hmm.
Now the rules have changed where the owners have to go through a process to take the unit out of use. So they can't just get a permit over the counter anymore.
I see.
They actually have to enter into a process which may result in legalization of the unit.
Mm-hmm.
And it may result in legalization of the unit, even if that's not the owner's number one desire.
You know, Mark, before we take our first call, you mentioned that there may be some very nice places, not just a garage. What do you mean? What are we talking about here?
I'm aware of...
You want one, Chuck?
Yeah, I want one. I want one immediately. Yeah.
I don't know if you could afford this one, Chuck. It's in a very, very fancy neighborhood in San Francisco. An attic was converted many, many years ago into a separate unit with a staircase going around the side of the house so there would be separate access.
It's I been like there that. Since you. I'm very interested.
Here
in
view.
That.
Is there a view too, Mark?
There
That's
is
top,
a view.
Of course.
There is a very nice view. It's on a hill. And it's been there since the 1980s. And it is my understanding that the building department is really, it's against public policy in San Francisco, even if it's unstated, to remove units from housing use. There's such a shortage of housing in the city. The vacancy rate is nil. Mm-hmm. And there's something, I've read estimates, 8, 10, 12,000 of these illegal units in the city. And if they were taken out of use, they would be a real crisis.
So the change in the law now is to let them continue to be used as living spaces?
Well, the city's encouraging people to attempt to legalize them.
I see. I got it.
The problem is many of them cannot be legalized because they're built in such a way they don't meet codes and things like that.
Wow. Well, very interesting. All right, let's do this. Natalia, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
All right, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. You're on, my dear.
Yeah, so I have a quick question. I moved into a unit in Oakland this past July, and I signed a month-to-month lease, although I would have liked to sign a one-year lease. And my concern with signing the month-to-month lease was that I was concerned that he would raise my rent within the first year, he assured me that he would not. And just this past January, I received a notice that my rent would be raised due to capital improvements. And it was raised the legal amount. And then it also said that I wouldn't get my rent raised until the following July when I would have to renew my month-to-month.
You're talking about this coming July of this year, 2016?
Right, which would be the anniversary of my one-year
month-to-month
lease. So what I'm wondering is it legal for him to raise my rent twice like that within 1 year?
Natalia, let me ask you a question. You're in a rent-controlled jurisdiction there in Oakland, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then the two rent increases that you described, I think, are only really one rent increase, one for rent and one for capital improvement, right? So the rent increase for capital improvement, that comes pursuant to a capital improvement. Presumably, you could have more than one of those a year. But the rent increase, which is just on the base rent, not on the capital improvement, that can only be done once every 12 months in San Francisco under our rent ordinance. I believe that's the same for your rent ordinance. There's a lot of similarities, but they're not exactly the same.
Is there a rent board also?
There absolutely
in
is.
Oakland? Yeah. Have you contacted the rent board, Natalia?
No, I haven't.
You need to.
This is an excellent question for them.
Yeah,
for
you the need rent board. To. You need to do that, Natalia.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your rent.
Yeah.
For your help.
For your rent, yeah. Yeah, pay it. Send it to the station, will you? Natalia, thanks very much for calling. Take care.
You.
All right, good luck to you. Nancy, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I don't actually have a problem yet, but I'm just trying to find out what...
Oh, you're looking for a problem. Hey, they're out there, Nancy.
What my rights are. I've been living in a duplex for 20 years, and it just got sold.
Uh-oh.
So I'm worried that I'm going to be evicted or that my rent's going to go up, and I was just wondering...
You're in Richmond, are you not?
Yes.
And that is Contra Costa County?
Yes.
Is there a rent ordinance there in your county?
There was for a month, but then the landlords in Richmond sued the city. And
they kiboshed it, huh?
Why would they do that?
There is no rent control in Richmond at this point.
So you're wondering now, you're actually now on a month-to-month rent, month-to-month tenancy, is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Have you talked to the landlord at all about this?
They won't give me any answers.
They won't? Oh, aren't they? Have you? And you've tried?
Well, I've asked them what's going to happen, and they're like, we don't know. They're selling the house. They don't know.
Oh, really? Oh. I see. Okay, so this is, you've been living in this this duplex. There are two units in this building. Is that right?
Right.
And you occupy one.
Yes.
And so the owner is selling the entire building. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the issue is, if a new owner comes in, are you going to be hit with an increase in rent? Is that your question, basically?
Or if they want me to leave, how much time do they have to give me?
Ah, very good.
Or
now, so
I have to be out.
We're dealing with California law.
This is California law.
Not county law.
Right.
What comments do you have on that, Mark?
The news is not good, Nancy. If you are in a month-to-month tenancy in a city that does not have a rent control ordinance, the state law applies, which is that they can give you a notice of a rent increase. If it's less than 10%, they have to give you 30 days notice. If it's more than 10%, they have to give you 60 days notice.
Mm-hmm.
As far as an eviction goes, I believe it would just be 30 days.
60.
It is 60 now.
Because she's been there 20 years.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay. So you would have 60 days notice.
That's all.
Yeah, it's very tough. It's very tough in the Bay Area.
Do you feel you're paying a very good rent at this point, Nancy?
No.
No.
I'm very lucky. I'm paying a low rent.
That's what I meant. You're paying a low rent, so you're anticipating with a new owner that you're going to be hit with a substantial increase.
Right.
You know, my suggestion for you. I put my cards on the table. I am not a landlord-tenant attorney, but my suggestion for you right now, when I say right now, in the next few days, is to call the the Contra Costa County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service.
Okay.
And see if you can't arrange an appointment with a landlord-tenant attorney who represents tenants.
Mm-hmm.
You will probably pay, I may be off just a little bit, but generally throughout California, with minor exception, for a half an hour consultation, you'll pay somewhere between $25 to $35. It's a great consumer service.
Okay.
And I think you should do it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Any other comments for Nancy at this point?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Good luck to you, Nancy.
All right, thank you very much.
Sometime when we do another program on landlord-tenant, which will not be for another 6 weeks or 2 months, I'd like you to remember to call back. Let us know what... I'm serious. Let us know what happened.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Okay, sure.
That would be fine. And I think you can either Google the Contra Costa County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service, or you can call information for the Contra Costa County Bar Association. Okay, here we are, everybody. It is your opportunity to call in, be on the air with my guests. It's 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And so take advantage of this. My guests are going to be, the first half hour is a statewide version, and then we continue for another half hour. But don't wait until nearly 8 o'clock California Pacific time. All right, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues program on dealing, of course, with California state law, also possibly with rent board law, primarily since my guests have been involved with San Francisco. They're very knowledgeable about the rent control board laws in San Francisco. And they are, just so that you know who's here, Salvatore Timpano, whose office is in San Francisco, and Mark Seidenfeld, whose office is in San Bruno. So take advantage of the fact that they are here. One of the things that I know has been a problem in the past, and both of you have, I think, talked about this, is that when tenants are about to go into the property, that they go through an inspection with the landlord and perhaps either fill out a sheet where there may appear to be some problems. This needs to be repaired, or there's that crack in the wall, or the door has a hinge problem, and or take photos. What comments do you have about that as you're going into, you as a tenant, going into a new rental situation? Sal, what recommendation do you have?
It's an excellent idea. I know we've talked about it before. You know, the tenants have to put up a security deposit, and at the end of their lease term, that security deposit is going to be subject to deductions. So if they have a before picture of the unit and description, maybe even a checklist, a pre-move-in checklist, they can use that to give the property back in the same condition or as close to the same mm-hmm. condition as possible, minus normal wear and tear,
which is difficult. I have always found to really define what normal wear and tear.
Could be a gray area.
Yeah, a gray area.
But at least the tenant will be in a position to argue for a return, you know, a greater return of the security deposit.
Sure, I didn't make the hole in that wall. Look, here's the photo I took on the day I entered the premises.
Right,
Mark.
I would agree. It's also a very good idea for landlords because the landlord is documenting the condition of the premises, and usually the tenant signs off on it, saying everything's in working order, or there is a problem, and here it is, mm-hmm. and we're going to fix it. It just provides documentation.
Yeah.
So when the tenancy ends, as Sal said, everybody knows where they stand, what was bad when they started, where it is now.
Anything else about that initial entry? Okay. All right. Lita, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi.
I'm calling on behalf of a client that I'm working with who has mold issues. She's documented everything with photographs. She's complained to the property management company. They came in, they saw the issue. She also has a buckling floor. Her apartment's in really bad shape. It's a studio in the Tenderloin, and they have yet to act on it. That was almost a month ago that they came in, and she hasn't heard anything. She requested everything to be in writing. And I wonder what right she has to act on the repair and deduct.
How long has she been there, Lita, in this rental?
I'm not exactly sure. At least 5 years.
Oh, really? And is there any knowledge as to what the source of the mold may be? Is she on a lower floor and there's an apartment or unit above her where there may be a leaking pipe?
She's actually on the 8th floor. And apparently I met with a manager also and her to see, you know, so we could all address the issue together. And he said something about, you know, it's an old building. They have real structural problems, which of course is not very comforting at all. And you could see moisture on the ceiling, condensation. She opens windows. She got a dehumidifier. But the mold is just, you know, it's caused health issues with her children. It's really bad, and they haven't responded.
They haven't actually
gone in to start doing the work. So,
let me go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
I just know a little something about the repair and deduct, so that she could withhold rent until the work is done. She's not living in habitable conditions.
Yeah. Let me get Mark to start on this.
I would strongly advise her to go down to the San Francisco Rent Board and file a petition for what's called a reduction in services. The fact that mold is widespread in San Francisco, the climate is moist, but it doesn't relieve the landlord of his responsibility to provide habitable premises. And mold is definitely something that shouldn't be there. And it is up to the landlord to solve the problem. Obviously, if she's contributing to it in some way, that's, you know, she's going to have to stop whatever she's doing. Mm-hmm. But the rent board will determine that, and they're very good at that, at protecting tenant rights, and they probably will order some reduction in rent until the landlord makes the appropriate repairs.
Okay, so, she's been working with some pro bono attorneys through a community-based organization, nonprofit, in the Tenderloin, so she's already connected with someone who has some knowledge of this, but it seems to kind of be stuck. So you would say go to the rent board.
Absolutely. Anytime a tenant has a problem like that in San Francisco, that's the first place to go. They're very responsive. They take it very seriously, and they will get the landlord in there to explain why he isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Because she already had a contractor who works for the property management company come out and take a mold sample, and she's just gotten no follow-up at all. So she feels like they're just kind of slowly harassing her out of the place.
Oh.
She's had issues in the past.
Okay.
And it's just sort of one thing after another. So every time she speaks up, you know, she hits a wall.
Nothing gets the attention of a landlord in San Francisco like a notice from the rent board.
Yeah.
Go to the rent board.
I'm surprised. You said she is working with an attorney, Lita?
Mm-hmm. A pro bono through a community-based organization called La Voz Latina.
I see. Okay. So she's Hispanic, is she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's being taken advantage of, obviously. I don't mean by the attorney, but by the landlord.
Definitely.
Certainly, I think that the three of us agree that you need to have this woman who's your friend or associate or whatever it may be, contact the rent board, San Francisco Rent Board, fill out whatever the papers are, and seek some help there. And I'm kind of surprised that the pro bono attorney didn't tell her to do that, unless the pro bono attorney has done that him or herself, really. So good luck, and I thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for your show.
Yeah,
have a good night.
Take care. Thanks very much. We have in the statewide version of the program about half a minute left of the program. And what I want to tell those of you who are able to listen to us live, we are live for a full hour in the Bay Area. We're live on the internet for an hour on www.klw.org, and now we are also uplinked to the NPR National Public Radio satellite. So for those of you who are fortunate enough to listen to the live program and haven't had a chance to call in, we will continue in just about another 20 seconds. Okay, everybody, let me give you the phone number again. It's 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guests are landlord-tenant attorneys who have been involved. I think Mark Seidenfeld. Mark, you've been involved with my program for over, 15 years?
Something like that,
I mean, you were just in kindergarten when we started this, weren't you?
I don't remember that far back.
Yeah, well, I was. And Sal, you've been involved with the program for a good number of years.
Yeah,
several.
Maybe 4 or 5 years.
These are really people who come here not just for the pizza. I do order pizza, by the way. It's very good.
It is pretty good.
But they come here because they want to serve the public. That means serving you. They're very generous with their time. They have also not only been on the air with me that's doing live programs, but when we've done Call a Lawyer Night, they've been here in the conference room. And so take advantage of the fact that they're here. And if you tuned in a little bit late, let me tell you who is here. Mark Seidenfeld, his office is in San Bruno, and Salvatore Timpano, whose office is in San Francisco. And again, the toll-free number, and we're doing this program live on Wednesday evening, March 9th. Keep that in mind, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And I think we're going to now talk with Rebecca. Rebecca, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, sure. You can't come over great. You sound like you should be on the radio, Rebecca.
I hear I give good voice.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm calling because I'm a tenant in a house that I'm renting in Marin County. And we've been in the house for about 4 years. We had an original lease. We are now on month to month. And the landlord has been without a property manager. The landlord is out of state. And we've just been paying rent directly to the landlord, and everything's been fine. But he has hired a property manager and let us know that they will be taking over April 1st. Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned because I've had experience with this property management company in the past, mm-hmm. and they were very unscrupulous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned about them. They're notorious for taking ridiculous amounts and things out of the deposit. So.
Oh.
We have a fairly large deposit, and I want to know what I can do to protect myself when they take over as the property management company.
So you're thinking, I guess you're thinking they're going to ask you to leave the premises, but also what they will do is not return a great portion of your security deposit. Is that what you're concerned about?
I'm not concerned that they're going to ask me to leave the premises. I'm concerned that if we do decide to move, that this property management company in the end will try to take monies from our deposit when this place was in horrible condition when we moved in, and we've nothing but improve it.
I see.
And put monies into an improvements in the property. So
did you,
Rebecca,
when you went in, as we discussed just a couple, 3 or 4 minutes ago, when you went in there initially 4 years ago, did you go through the property with the landlord or whomever was you were dealing with for an inspection and note what the problems were or take any photos or anything like that at all?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
I do have that document, and I have a feeling the new property management company will want to create a new document, and I'm concerned because we've already lived here for 4 years.
Yeah.
So how do they, you know, how, can they? Can I refuse to have them try to create a new document based on the conditions now?
Well, let me get some comments for you. Again, you are in Marin County. I want to mention something to you that may be of help to you. The San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service now services not only San Francisco but Marin County. So my suggestion to you is that, and by the way, the San Francisco Bar is one of the funders of this program and has been for many years. I suggest that you might want to call the phone number for the San Francisco Bar Lawyer Referral Service. Do you have a pen or pencil handy and a piece of paper?
Yes.
Yeah, let me give it to you. And one of the things I'd like all of you to think about in my role as the host of this program, and I am a consumer advocate, have been for many, many years, both as my practice as an attorney and also as a deputy district attorney for San Mateo County in the Consumer Protection Unit. So I'm not trying to get work for lawyers. I'll tell you that. I'm not. But I'm trying to give you something that may be helpful to you down the road. So the San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service, which services both San Francisco and Marin County, is 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. You can call there, tell them what the problem is, say that you'd like to have an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants, and for half an hour, actually, Rebecca, you'll pay, I think it's soaking wet, $35. It's a great way to get your basic information of what your rights are, and I'm a great believer in that. So I suggest that you do that. By the way, you're on a month-to-month tenancy, are you not?
Yes.
Yeah. And this property is not certainly covered by rent control, is it?
No.
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 No. Okay. So I think it's very wise for you. My advice as a consumer attorney is that you contact the Lawyer Referral Service, see if you can't start off with having a face-to-face meeting with an attorney who represents tenants in the landlord-tenant area.
I will do that. Do your guests have any thoughts on whether or not I could refuse a walkthrough with the...
That's a good... Okay, we didn't answer her question.
Right.
Sal, what do you have to say about that?
Okay, you know, the owner can do a notice of entry to come in and do a walkthrough. You can't refuse that. You've got to let him come in under state law. They give you 24 hours written notice to come in and inspect the property. So you got to let them do that. You could reschedule it to a time where you're there. You know, you can work with them that way. And the other thing is, so that's one. And the other thing is under state law, you're entitled to a pre-move-out inspection. They have to offer it to you if they send you an eviction notice. They have to offer you a pre-move-out inspection, and it usually takes place 2 weeks before you move. There's no reason why you couldn't ask them to do it a little sooner, too.
Yeah.
But it gives you an opportunity to see what they're pointing out as a problem. with respect to your security deposit, and then you can choose to either dispute it or make the repair yourself. A lot of times the repairs are not really a big deal, so you can do them yourself. If they're expensive or you don't think they're your problem, you'd have advance notice about it, and you can start dealing with it then, all the way knowing that you may have to deal with this in small claims court, assuming that your security deposit is under, you know, $10,000 or under.
How much is your security deposit?
It's about $5,000.
$5,000, that's a significant amount of money.
Let me ask this. I have a feeling that the new property management company is going to require me to sign something, some sort of agreement, like I have to mail my rent check to them, and if it's late, they have outrageous fees. Like if it's a day late, they can charge you $50 for every day it's late.
Ooh.
Can I refuse to sign that?
You know, if you refuse, Mark, did you want to?
I was going to say, I don't think they can simply impose a new term on you in your rental agreement without giving you, I think, 30 days advance notice.
30 days advance notice.
You may not have to sign it. They can just impose it upon
right.
you. But bear in mind that it has to be reasonable. $50 a day for every day that's late, to my mind, does not sound reasonable.
No, I don't think so either.
And this is exactly what small claims courts are for. I'm a very strong advocate for the use of small claims court. They work very, very well, and they tend to be very sympathetic towards tenants when landlords are trying to take advantage of them. And I think if your property management company is as bad as you say, of course, you're anticipating something that may never happen, but assuming the worst happens and they decide to withhold a large portion of your security deposit and you feel it's not warranted, your remedy is definitely small claims court.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So good luck to you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care. Take care. Nice to talk to you. And for those of you who may not be in the San Francisco area or the Marin County area, but perhaps are down in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. I bring this to your attention since the San Mateo County Bar Association is a funder of this program. You can call your own lawyer referral service down there at 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Hopefully you will get a human being on the other end of the phone. That's the goal today, I find, anyway. And tell them what the problem is, and they will do, all of these lawyer referral services will do their best to find you someone who's experienced in the area, whatever it may be, not just landlord-tenant, but whatever the legal problem may be, and set you up for a half an hour consultation. And with rare exception, you will pay throughout California for a half an hour consultation between $25 to $35. It's a great opportunity for legal education for someone who's facing a problem, and I highly recommend it. And so good luck to all of you who may be confronted with that. I hope you don't have to do it, but good luck to you. All right, Margaret, welcome to the program.
Hi, I have a question about the deposit. I have lived in the same rent-controlled apartment for 15 years. I had a $4,000 deposit. My neighbor in the same building recently moved out, and she got her full deposit, as I expect I will, but she got no interest on that. So I'm wondering about that. I have had $4,000 in with my landlord for 15 years, and I'm wondering...
For how many years?
15.
15, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and my apartment is fine. My landlord, mm-hmm. I mean, it's pristine. It's the way it was when I moved in. So I'm wondering, is there some sort of interest on that deposit?
Is there a required of a landlord incurring interest on a security deposit, at least in San Francisco?
There is in San Francisco, and you can find the percentage rate either on the website or by calling the San Francisco rent board. They'll tell you what the percentage is. It changes, I believe, every year. And if the landlord doesn't pay it to you every year, they can account for it at the end of your tenancy.
Okay, great. Because my neighbor in the same building received her full deposit, but no interest on that.
Mm-hmm. So there's also an opportunity for an offset on that, because in San Francisco, landlords can pass along a rent board fee to the tenants. I think it's $30 a year. So what happens, you know, if you do the math, is that $30 a year will probably be more than the interest on the security deposit. Uh-huh. You've got a pretty hefty one, but you know, they might cancel out, or you know, be real close. So that could be part of the reason that your friend didn't get her security deposit
okay.
interest.
But the landlord's still required to account for it.
Yes. Should be accounting.
It should be something in the letter that your friend got when she moved out saying, here's what happened to the interest that I had to pay you. I deducted it against the fee that the rent board charges me and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay.
But even if I may interrupt for just a moment, Margaret, even if, for example, the rent board's interest rate, and correct me, gentlemen, if I'm wrong on this, was only 5%.
Oh, it's much less than that.
Oh, is it much less?
It's you know, 1-point-something percent.
Okay.
It's
all right.
It's almost meaningless.
I'm all wet on this, obviously. This is not pro. It's not pro-tenant, this interest rate.
It's based on what banks are charging. The interest rates are out there. And
right.
It changes
right.
annually, as Sal right. says.
Yeah. It's actually probably a pretty fair interest rate in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be fixed and was much higher, but then it got to a point where the rates were dropping, so it was becoming an investment for the tenants at the landlord's expense, so that they had to, you know, they adjusted it. Now it tracks, like Mark said. But
the San Francisco Rent Board interest rate didn't go into effect until recent years. Isn't that right, Sal? Mm. I mean, it doesn't go back 15 years or even 10 years.
It might go back. It might go back 15 to 20 years.
Really?
I think it does.
Yeah. Does it?
Okay.
Well, then your job, Margaret, and you must report back here when you can, is to contact the rent board and find out what the interest rate has been over this period of time and then calculate it for yourself.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay. And Mark has one more thing for you.
I just wanted to say that there's no requirement under state law that interest be paid on security deposits. This is a San Francisco thing and
San
perhaps
Francisco.
Other
yeah.
cities that have rent control.
Now, go ahead, Margaret. You had something else.
No, I just have to say that I have really appreciated your show. I've never been a caller on tenant law, but I will miss KALW so much when I move to the East Coast. I'm retired.
Well, hey, but listen, Margaret, you'll be able to hear the program on the Internet. www.kalw.org, and also...
I know that.
Also,
I just want to say how much I've appreciated.
When are you leaving, dear?
Appreciate.
When are you going?
September.
Oh, no. Too bad. But listen, we are with the help of the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which funds our uplink to the National Public Radio satellite. We are trying to build a network of stations across the country, so maybe you will find that you can even hear us on the local public radio station wherever you're going to be. Where are you going? What state?
Maine.
Maine. Oh, that's beautiful.
But when I'm there now, I always listen to KLW. It's my favorite public radio station.
Well, we'll send you the check tomorrow, okay?
and I am a longtime supporter of KLW. Thank you so much. You guys do such great work. Thank you so much.
When you go to Maine, don't forget to go to Kennebunkport and say hello to the former president, will you?
Yeah, well,
okay.
We don't do All that
right.
there.
All right, take care, my dear.
All right.
Thank you for
so
calling.
Much.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, we've got Alice. Alice, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
You certainly are, Alice.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad I got in before the end. So I was calling because I am so lucky with my husband that we are landlords. We actually own a house. We outgrew it as a family, and we rent it out, and we don't have any problems with our tenants either because we have the great help of the people at the East Bay Rental Housing Association. But we got a letter from the city of Oakland last year around December, and it said, "We have reason to believe that you have been renting your house in the city of Oakland and you have neglected to get a a business permit for running this business. And we were kind of shocked. They wanted to, my husband freaked out, and he thought, oh, my God, they're going to want all the back years that we never paid. And is this like a scare tactic or a phishing tactic? And do you need a business license to just rent out your second home?
You absolutely do. Renting out a home or an office or anything else is a business, and you're required to have a business license. Whether they would try to go back retroactively, I have no idea, but conceivably they might.
I think, Alice, you don't want to ignore it, and maybe what you might want to do is be more proactive about it so that they don't start getting angry and make it worse for you and your husband than if you, you know, take the initiative and contact them and find out what do you need to do. It may be if you respond to this frankly in a very professional way that they might merely want you to, you know, do the paperwork for a business permit and pay the current business license as opposed to getting you.
$60, yeah.
Who knows? So don't ignore it. Don't ignore it because you don't want to rile them.
I think maybe they were just fishing as far as saying that they think that we had been operating a business, but we went in and we got the business license for last year and then this year. I have another question because I also rent out space. I mean, I am a tenant also. And that is, if I have a business and if there is an organization like the University of California and they have an agreement where someone rents out land to farm on, and those people that rent out the land to farm on hire my services, can the University of California come and give me 5 days notice to get off of the land that someone else has an agreement to be on? Or do I get 30 days notice like it sounds like anybody would?
Wow.
There might be particular rules regarding farmland, and I wouldn't be the one to answer to.
Where's the farmland, Alice?
It's the Guild Tract. This was part of the Occupy the Farm. The people that occupied the farm actually had permission now, and they were given rules to farm the land, and I'm a beekeeper, so I put my hives on the land, and I was told that I had to move my hives off the land, even though there was nothing in any of the information that the Occupy and the other people in that area that were using it for farming, they were never said that they couldn't have bees. And then, as I said, I was given 5 days, and I spoke to one of the deans at the school and said, I need 30 days. I need 30 to 60 days. I've had my bees there for 3 years. And
Alice, let me interrupt. Let me interrupt for a moment. Where is the farm?
It's in Albany.
Albany. What county is that?
It's Alameda.
That's Alameda County.
Alameda County. I want to suggest to you, so that you don't get yourself in a real turmoil. I also want to suggest to you call the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service because I think you need to get some help here. Would you like to jot down the number?
One of the questions is we don't know what kind of law it is.
That's why I want you to contact the Bar
Association. They don't know if it's
Alice,
don't know what kind of law.
Alice, listen to me, dear. I'm trying to help you.
Okay.
I'd like you to take down this phone number. Call the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone for you. That's the whole point. It's a public service that the Bar Association is performing. Here's the number.
I've actually used them before.
All right. Do you want the phone number or not?
Sure, I'll take it again.
All right. And then I have one more call. Alice, I have to tell you that. It's 510.
Thank you so much.
Sure. 510-302-2222. Okay. 302-2222. Thanks for calling and good luck.
Okay, thanks very much.
But that's your assignment. You've got to do it. You've got to do
I'll
it.
Do it, yep.
Okay. Thanks for calling. All right, here's this gentleman has been waiting. What a patient guy. Don, welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been living in an apartment in San Mateo County for 7-8 years. And recently the building was sold and the new owners have issued a rent increase. And basically, it's for the first 60 days, there's going to be a certain percentage of an increase. And after that, after the 60 days, they're going to have a second rate increase.
Hmm.
My question is, can they do that? Because I'm close to a senior citizen, do I have any senior citizen rights in San Mateo County? And I don't know if there's any limit to the amount of rent increase that they can charge in San Mateo County.
Is not covered by a rent ordinance, is it, Don?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
And you're,
have to look that up.
You are on a month-to-month tenancy, are you?
Right. I wanted to sign, renew the lease again, but they said they would not because of new management was taking over. So.
Oh, I got it. I got it. You know, again, what I would suggest, and I don't mean to usurp the experience of my great guests here, but I think you should call the lawyer referral service for San Mateo County. Did you get that phone number?
No, I did not.
Do you have something to write with?
No.
Don. Mark has something to say to you.
Don, the short answer is there's no rent control in San Mateo County other than in the city of East Palo Alto. So unless you live there, they can raise your rent. As we said before, if it's less than 10%, they have to give you 30 days advance notice. If it's 10% or more, they have to give you 60 days advance notice.
Now, that's state law.
That's state law.
State law.
I'm not aware of anything that says they can't raise it more than once in a year. In places like San Francisco, it can only be once a year. So I think you're out of luck. There may be, however, you mentioned being a senior citizen, there are senior citizen residential facilities in San Mateo County where the rents are controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're living in one or not, but you need to find that out before you do anything else.
Yeah, No, I'm not.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Since you don't have anything to write with, and I want to, and I'm not trying to be negative or be nasty, but when you are listening to this program, what we are trying to do is help educate people in the law, prevent problems if possible, if there's a problem facing you, to try to help you deal with it. So my recommendation is when you listen to this program, always have a pen or pencil and a piece of paper, because I may give some important phone number that may be helpful to you. And Don, if there's someone in the background, I hear some noise back there, maybe that's your TV or your radio. But you can certainly call the information operator tomorrow and find out what the lawyer referral service number is. It's 650-369-4149. And call them and see if you can't get an appointment. You're going to pay no more than $35, and maybe you'll find it's a very fine investment.
Okay. No. As long as I know that it's the San Mateo Lawyer Referral Service.
Oh, yeah. Fine. Oh, no. It's San Mateo County Law Referral Service. So San Mateo County Bar, Lawyer Referral Service. And so, take advantage of it.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you very much
for
calling.
Bye.
I think we have gotten everybody, I think, at this point. And so you all, I want you to kind of, think carefully about what you're doing. If you've got someone who's hustling you, who's on the other side, remember there are lawyer referral services throughout the state of California. I'm sure this is not unique to California. And take advantage of what may be out there that may help you in the long run by a small investment and getting some help to avoid some big problems. Gentlemen, let me start with you, Mark. What closing comments do you have? We have about 5 minutes left in the program.
That's a tough one.
All right. It's a vast area.
Let me just...
47 years ago.
we won't go that far.
No, okay, all right.
One point I would like to get across is that in the Bay Area, because housing is so scarce and so expensive, there seems to be a constant state of hostility, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, among landlords and tenants. Several of the callers tonight are not having a problem, but they're concerned that there might be a problem in the future. I want to get across that most landlords are just as reasonable as most tenants are. Landlords are in business. They're there to make money. That's the whole purpose of being in business. That obviously conflicts with the desire of most tenants to pay as little rent as they can. The problem is if you're on a month-to-month tenancy, landlords can basically raise your rent unless you're in a rent-controlled jurisdiction. And most of the Bay Area is not covered by rent control. Yeah. The big cities are, San Jose, Oakland, San Francisco, Berkeley, a couple of smaller ones, Hayward, East Palo Alto.
Is San Diego covered by a rent ordinance?
I have no idea. Okay. I know Los Angeles is, West LA, Santa Monica.
Yeah.
I don't know about San Diego.
Okay.
So
San Diego's not.
It's not.
Okay. No. That's interesting. So, what about you, Sal? What closing comments do you have?
I think it's important for landlords and tenants to remember that they've got a relationship. It's called a landlord-tenant relationship. And even though, you know, they might be having some problems, that's part of every relationship. At the end of the day, they've got to live with each other, you know. So they should try to work things out by speaking to each other. Once they get into a legal problem, no, I think they should stop talking and contact attorneys or get some kind of advice. But otherwise, they should talk to each other.
Yeah, that can be very helpful as opposed to people getting angry at each other, really. What do we have? We have 3 minutes left. Okay. Mark, last comment.
I just want to add that people should not be afraid to take advantage of small claims courts. They're extremely informal. You don't need a lawyer. You can't have a lawyer. It costs very little. It's something like $35 to file a case.
Yeah.
And the judges are very sympathetic, and they will do the right thing by you.
It's a great forum. It's a great forum, everybody, to keep in mind. Well, I want to thank both of you. It's been great having you on the program.
Thank you,
You've been doing this for years. You've been doing a great service to the public, and I greatly appreciate it. You get an extra piece of pizza as you leave if you want. Okay. My guests have been landlord-tenant attorneys Mark Seidenfeld, whose office is in San Bruno. For those of you who don't know where San Bruno is, it's in California, believe it or not. It's in the Bay Area. My other guest is Salvatore Timpano. His office is in San Francisco. And I thank you both very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
Great to have you. By the way, everybody, next week what we're going to do, our program will be on employment law, focusing on California's new laws for employers and employees this year. There are a number of new laws. We did this program, the first segment, back in December. We're doing another segment. My guests will be employment law attorneys Tom Lenz and Scott Stillman, both very experienced in the employment law area. So I hope you join us for that. Program engineer is Debbie Kennedy. Debbie, wonderful to have you here. She's giving me the salute, and I love it. And then production assistant Martin McLean. Thanks, Martin, very much. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Trusts and Estates Section of the State Bar of California, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and finally, the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and please join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.